The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one on whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and I have testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. We are looking in the gospel reading today at the beginnings of the public life of Christ. All four gospels make mention of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Matthew, Mark, and Luke mention it specifically. John's gospel does not. It refers to it. There's a reason for that. John's gospel emphasizes Jesus' divinity, and you'll find that over and over again in John. He does not give very much time or attention to the humanity of Christ. That's the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. He points out, there is the Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb of God, much commentary is written about what exactly this Lamb of God means. I don't want to pause too long over the commentary. I want to wonder with you what it means to me and what it might mean to you that Jesus is pointed out as the Lamb of God. So let me pause over that for a few moments. This past week I had a birthday, and as has been my practice for many years, I went on retreat for the day of my birthday. So most of the day I spent alone and on retreat right into the evening. It was wonderful, the ideal day for me on my birthday. I took the Lamb of God as a theme to wonder what this Lamb of God really means. And to frame my reflections on the Lamb of God, I took with me a book by Morris West. Many of you will be familiar with Morris West. I first came upon him in 1960 when I was in college. And somebody said, "There's a novel called Children of the Sun. It's a little bit risque, but it's a good read." Well, then I have to read it if it's a little bit risque. Well, whatever risque was like in the 60s, today it would be spiritual reading by our standards today. So I read that and became very enamored of Morris West. And subsequently, he wrote many books you'd be familiar with. The Clowns of God, Devil's Advocate, Shoes of the Fisherman. He wrote 18 different novels. But then he came when he was 80 years old. I decided he wrote this book called A View from the Ridge. He was 80 when he wrote that, and it was his long view looking back over his life and how the visitations of God were revealed to him. Some of them accurate and some not so accurate. And I thought maybe I should use this to frame my prayer day, since it was age appropriate. Finally, I'd say, not reading Children of the Sun, but reading A View from the Ridge. He was 80 when he wrote this, and he died 3 years later. He was a devout Catholic, never stopped going to Mass. He went through a great struggle with the church, trying to get an annulment from his first marriage to marry Joyce, who was his second wife, a marriage that lasted almost 50 years. And the pain and the struggle and the anxiety and the conflict of this thing, which today would be a canonical exercise that would not be too conflicted. But back in those days, it was different. He remembers in his book, interestingly, that when his little girl made First Communion, he went to the Mass, but he couldn't receive the Eucharist. He hadn't yet gotten his annulment, but he never stopped going to, he would not leave the church. He never stopped going to Mass. And in due time, he got his annulment and became very active in the church. So this began my reflection on the long view, like he's looking back over his life in A View from the Ridge. Just as I will do this week on my birthday, look back over my life and wonder, who is the Lamb of God in my life? Most people believe in God. That's not the critical issue. The critical issue is to believe in a God who will meet me where I am in my life. A God who will speak my language, who will understand me. A God who will be present to me, whether I'm old or young, married or single, in a second marriage, in a third marriage, whether I'm gay, wounded, excluded, whether I'm sick or on hospice, I'm dying. I want a Lamb of God who will meet me in the place I find myself in my life. The presence of a God who speaks my language, who will embrace me and belong to me in the place I find myself now. The struggle is not to believe in God. The struggle is to believe that God is present to me in my life wherever I find myself. A God of blessing. A God of love. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the struggle, and that's the search that is part of most people's lives. They believe in God. It depends on which God they are given to experience, or who it is that says, there is a Lamb of God in your life. Paul Tillich, the extraordinary Lutheran theologian, in his great work, Systematic Theology, speaks about three levels of consciousness in pursuing the Lamb of God. The first one is what he calls heteronomy. The Greek word nomos means way, hetero, the way of the other. Heteronomy is that condition in which we accept uncritically the voice of the other without question. We accept the teaching of the voice of the other, which is given to us. How to understand the Lamb of God? You listen to the other's voice, will say, there is the Lamb of God. The uncritical submission to an outside authority. The second one is autonomy, autonomos, where I am my own God. I am independent, I make up my life. I am my own God. I don't need any other God. The third one is theonomy. Theos nomos, which is to listen to the presence of God in your life. And this is the manner in which you discover the Lamb of God. When I was young, the church told me who God is, and I believed it. And because I believed it, I experienced it. I was told, speaking about the true God, since all of the laws in the church and all of the beliefs in the church are rooted in who God is, who the Lamb of God is in our lives. So I learned from the church saying, this is the Lamb of God. I learned that outside the church there is no salvation. I learned that an interreligious marriage was displeasing to God, so much so it had to take place in the sacristy. It wasn't allowed in the church. It was later somewhat advanced when the marriage could take place in the church, but not inside the sanctuary, outside the altar rails. Telling me who God is, I was told that an unbaptized baby and a victim of suicide could not go to heaven. There is the Lamb of God, I was told. And I learned and experienced a God who is a severe, punitive judge to be feared. And so I was fearful, burdened with an unhealthy guilt, because somebody said, this is the Lamb of God. And then I got to a place in my life where I got a view from the ridge. And looking at my life from the ridge somewhere, looking back over my life as appears in Morris West's View from the Ridge. In a view from the ridge, I discovered the Lamb of God. That in the fullness of my humanity, in my sins and my failures and my missteps in my life, I discovered unconditional love. I discovered that I was chosen, I was blessed, I was anointed somehow as unique in the presence of God. I discovered that I am infinitely loved in all my humanity. I have no fear, The view from the ridge will set aside all the past and say, speak to me now in a language I understand when I'm 83 years old. And in a view from the ridge, I discovered who the Lamb of God is. This was the Lamb of God for me. And I pray that this too would be the Lamb of God for you. Amen.